So Lord, would be pleased to help us. We would direct your attention to the part of his word that we read together in the prophecy of Hosea and chapter 13. And we may read again just now and consider the words that you will find in verse 9. Hosea chapter 13 and at verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. And when Hosea was preaching these words of his prophecy to the northern tribes of Israel, it was at the very end of their separate existence as a people. They were on the very brink of destruction as a separate people on the face of the earth. And even to this day, they have been swept away. The Jews, as we now have them in the world, are descended from the southern tribe of Judah, mostly, not exclusively, but mostly. And the vast majority of the people to whom Hosea was prophesying, revealing the word of God, their descendants were swept away into captivity and have never been restored to the privileges of God's covenant. And that is a most solemn consideration. But those who had laborious, faithful, self-denied servants of the Lord in their midst, proclaiming and warning them concerning what was coming, that the vast majority paid no heed. And this is the message that he, to the very end, is proclaiming to them. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. He would have been their help if they had availed themselves of his help. They would have not brought swift and sudden destruction upon themselves as a people. But there would be those among them, Hosea included, to whom these words were the words of eternal life, words of exceeding preciousness, in the midst of the most dreadful judgments, in the midst of the most discouraging circumstances and providence in connection with the Church of God, that God's mercy was still extended to them to the very uttermost. At this very late stage in the history of Israel, the Lord was still saying to them, but in me is thine help. Well, we have an ever-failing help in the Lord. And the great concern that we have is to be found making a spiritual use of the gospel while we have it. Now these words are very stark, very simple at one level. And we see here how man has destroyed himself. Not just Israel. It applies to the whole of mankind. It applies to you and it applies to me. These words are written over the soul of man, over the lives of men, young and old. Thou hast destroyed thyself. What we have then, first of all, is self-destruction. Self-destruction. And then in the second place that you notice, we have the divine salvation. But in me is thine help. There is a remedy for the ruin that man has brought upon himself, that Israel had brought, that the sinner in the prayer meeting in Glasgow has brought upon himself or herself. But in me is thine help. Divine salvation is the only remedy for self-destroyed sinners. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. And it's a common enough phrase among us that one is his own or her own worst enemy. That's well known conversation among us. You look at others, you see their faults, you see things that they fall into, things that come upon them, and you say, oh well, they're but their own worst enemy. But have you ever said that concerning yourself? That you are your own worst enemy? And if so, have you traced it to its original source? The Word of God makes it very plain. You hear it continually. You read it continually in the Word of God. But has it been brought home to you with power? Is it a reality in your own soul and in your own life, dear friend, that in Adam all die? In Adam all are destroyed, and in Adam all are self-destroyed. Self-destruction, that's what took place in the Garden of Eden. Adam destroying himself in sin, plunging his whole posterity, proceeding by ordinary generation, into an estate of sin and misery. It's ruinous. And as has been said, man is but a ruin of an Adam. That's what you are by nature, a ruin of an Adam. Everything Adam had has been ruined. Lost communion with God under his wrath and curse, made liable to all the miseries of this life, to death itself, and to the pains of hell forever. You've heard these words. You memorized them, most of you, as a child. But dear friend, are they a reality? Have they come home with solemn authority? Have they echoed in your experience that is true concerning you? Whatever is true of others, this is true of me. I have destroyed myself in sin. I have willfully, delightingly destroyed myself through the love and practice and power of sin. The guilt of sin brings destruction, brings the wrath and curse of heaven with it, the pollution of sin, the fearful pollution that is in your heart. Is there anything more destructive, anything more defiling, anything more hateful to an infinitely holy God than what he sees in your heart? You're off your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Now the particular sin that Hosea is speaking of here in the context of these words is the sin of idolatry. The sin of idolatry. That's all the way through the prophets. That was the great besetting sin of the Jews and of Israel more generally until the time of the Babylonian captivity. Copying, aping, longing for the idols of the world all around them. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. When they showed a humble, contrite spirit towards the Lord, the Lord blessed them. But look what happened. When he offended in Baal, he died. When the nation, it became idolatrous. When the sin of idolatry spread among them, they were destroyed. They destroyed themselves. And idolatry is in the heart of man. It takes very many different forms. It's in the heart of man. We trace it back there. Paul, in the first chapter of Romans, makes it very clear. Man, with an innate knowledge of God, in a natural sense, not in a saving sense, But fallen man, turning that knowledge into idolatry, worshipping four-footed beasts and birds, where did that come from? Where did that outward expression of idolatry come from? It came from an idolatrous heart. Many gods in your heart, friend. There's the great idol of self. And that idol has many forms. There's the form of self-love. Nothing more destructive than the love of self. Is that not what the devil tempted man with? Unbelief and pride. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The love of self instead of the love of God. Oh, how that destroyed man's soul. The love of self-gratification, loving the creature more than the creator. The love of self-dependence, depending on your own resources, depending on your own intelligence, depending on your own ideas. Are you here tonight and you have not closed in with Christ? You're yet a self-destroyed sinner in Adam. And you think that somehow or other you can work out your own way to peace with God. Your own ideas. Your own way of salvation. That's where the Apostle Paul was in his unconverted state. O Saul of Tarsus, thou hast destroyed thyself in your self-righteousness. But he had to learn this. Not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Everything else there was dung, was dross, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And the love of the world, there's a great idol. That's how the god of this world deceives sinners. It's through the love of the world. Giving you to love this creature and that creature. Putting the creature in the place of the god you are to worship. There's idolatry at the very root. What is it in the world that you love more than God, dear friend? What is it, young friend, that occupies your heart, that occupies your affections, that has the place that only belongs to God in your soul? What is it? There's your great idol. You bow down to that idol, you don't know it, but that's what you're doing when you're giving your heart to sin, to the world, to this thing and that thing, seeking happiness in anything other than God. For the joy and the happiness of your soul. That's idolatry. And look at the material possessions. Verse 6 tells us that natural covetousness of the heart of man, covetousness is idolatry. Verse 6, according to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Oh, you've forgotten God in giving your heart to the world and the things of this world. You have destroyed yourself for the love of things that perish with the using, friend. Things that will turn and rend you. You've given your heart to sin and Satan and to the world. And there's no profit in it. Nothing but self-destruction. Oh, sinner in Glasgow, you have destroyed yourself. There was a woman in Uig in the Isle of Lewis in a time of great material poverty. And she said, when we have plenty, we have many gods. But when we are in hunger, we only have thee. And the people of God know this. They know their idolatry. They know how they go out after the things of this world. lifted up when things are easy, when things seem to be prospering in the world, and your heart, without almost knowing it at all, is away, is deceived. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. But in spite of all that, the Lord was still showing them that he alone was the source of their help. There was no other way, there was no other remedy for their destructions, for the death and ruin that they had brought upon themselves, but the Lord. And does that not tell us that it is a great sin to neglect so great salvation? If in me is thine help, and you're going on forwardly in the way of sin, destruction and misery are in their ways. That's the fruit of idolatry, destruction. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. That's what you have to say of yourself tonight. I have not known the way of peace. I've known the world. I've known the material possessions of this world. I've known the pleasures of sin, which are but for a season. I've known the love of self, but I have not known the way of peace. Oh, sinner, you have destroyed yourself. Oh, young person, you have destroyed yourself. But wonder of wonders, here is divine salvation held out to you. But in me is thine help. Now the word "but" here, the word that is translated "but," is little more in the page of a Hebrew Bible than one line of the pen, one stroke of the pen, little more than that. But it makes all the difference between eternal life and eternal destruction. We heard in this very hall over 20 years ago, from this very pulpit, your own minister telling us, that there are no buts in the covenant of works, but there are buts in the covenant of grace. Oh, that blessed word, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved his people. That's what's before us here. But in me is thine help. Blessed be his name forever. That there is a yet, and there is a notwithstanding, and there is a nevertheless in the covenant of grace for poor self-destroyed sinners. But in me is thine help. God, who is rich in mercy, God who delights in mercy, God who delights to show grace to self-destroyed sinners, God who delights to restore the backslidden of his people. He multiplies mercy. That's what we have there in that wonderful passage in Isaiah. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He will multiply pardons. He will pardon upon pardon upon pardon. Because in me is thine help. Oh, what a tendency to make a covenant of works we have. To turn the gospel, to turn the covenant of grace into a covenant of works. You're saying here tonight, oh, how can I go to a communion table in days to come? How can I put myself among the children of God? I've sinned so much, I'm so unfit, I'm so unclean, I'm so unworthy. Oh, if they only knew what was in my heart. But the Lord knows what's in your heart, friend. He knows more about your sin than you'll ever know. He knows more about your self-destruction. He knows more about the pollution and the plague of your heart than you will ever know to all eternity. In his infinite heinousness, in his infinite guilt, its demerit, its hell-deservedness. And yet, he says concerning your sin, concerning your idolatrous, treacherous heart, Thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Oh, is that not a wonderful help that can reach down to the very lowest? Though you be in the prison, as the psalmist was there in Psalm 142, a prison of your own making, a prison of an accusing conscience, a prison of an accusing and a tempting devil, tempting you there's no mercy in God for you, tempting you that you've sinned away the day of grace, tempting you that, yes, at once you felt you closed in with Christ, but now it's all over. You've hardened your heart. You'll never get a drop of repentance in your soul. It's all a lie from hell, friend. In me is thine help. You have no help of man at all, none whatsoever. And it's good to learn that, that you have no help. You have no strength. You have no ability. You have nothing to recommend yourself to God. Time and time again, the child of grace has to learn that. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. For in me is thine help. Ah, divine help. I have laid help upon one who is mighty. There's good news. In the everlasting covenant, Christ was set up from everlasting to be the help of the poor and the needy, of poor self-destroyed sinners. And in the fullness of the times coming into the world, taking our nature, working out that obedience that we lost in Adam, restoring what he took not away, bringing in an everlasting righteousness, fulfilling the claims of the holy law and justice of God in perfection, suffering and dying in the room of the guilty, in the room of the self-destroyed, with Israel graven upon the palms of his hands, graven in his holy heart and his breastplate, going in to meet the holy sword of divine justice, and to meet the flaming fire of the indignation of heaven due to the sins of his people. Because in me is thine help. Who is this that hath engaged his heart to approach unto me? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save, mighty to help. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. What's it say about him in the covenant, in his love, in his never-changing love, that rideth in the heavens, in his help, and in his excellence on the sky? A heavenly deliverer, a heavenly help, reaching down from above, he sent down to deliver his people. But in me is thine help. And the Spirit of God sent forth into the hearts of poor sinners to help them in their infirmities. It's the Spirit that helpeth us in our infirmities, showing Christ, revealing Christ, uniting with Christ, working faith in the heart, renewing, restoring, upholding, guiding, keeping, enlivening, invigorating. That's the supply of the Spirit of Christ. Oh, you're needing help spiritually tonight, friend. If you don't feel that you're needing help spiritually tonight, is there something far wrong with your soul? The Lord's people are a poor and an afflicted and a needy and a helpless people as far as man is concerned, as far as themselves are concerned. And they're ever coming in their helplessness to one who is able to help them, who knows their case, who knows the way that they take. When he hath tried them, he will bring them forth as gold. He knows their condition. He knows everything that's passing through your soul. He knows everything that's ahead of you. He knows how to provide for all your needs. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You cannot say concerning Christ, he doesn't know how to help me. He hasn't got sufficient to help me. He hasn't got the will to help me. He hasn't got the love to help me. You cannot say that, dear friend. And he has the power to help you. And he has the love of a whole eternal covenant, provision, promises, fullness, divine fullness, to meet your every need. When I am weak, then am I strong. I can do all things, says the apostle, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. And he is able to remove every fear. Every fear that you have, taking the steps of duty and obedience in faith, he is able to support, he is able to sustain, he is able to cover over your shortcomings, your transgressions and your sins. There's an infinite merit in the blood of Jesus Christ, answerable to all your sins who are trusting in him tonight. Answerable to the sins of every sinner who will trust in him, because in me is thine help. There was no help for Christ. Be not far, for grief is near, and none to help is found. That's what he said when he was procuring help for you. When the Father laid help upon him, he found no help. No strength in man at all, no comforters, nothing. He relied entirely upon the promises of assisting grace in order to be a help to poor and needy sinners. If these words are to be true of you, but in me is thine help, he had to go to the very darkness and weakness of being crucified under the wrath and curse of God on Calvary. And what's the outcome? What's the effect? The blessed effect of this? Verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. He cannot be turned. He'll not change in his love. He cannot fail nor be discouraged till he hath set judgment in the earth. And that it will be the eternal deliverance of his people. Oh, what destroyed you, child of grace? What would destroy you if you were left to yourself? That he has engaged to overcome, and that is what he has done for every one of his people. So that sin, the root cause of death, by destroying that on Calvary, by destroying the devil's claim, by destroying the power of sin, by taking away the guilt of it and laying a sure foundation in Zion, whereby God can show mercy and impute a blessed and perfect righteousness to the sinner. That's what lays the foundation for the destruction of death, for the destruction of hell as far as his people are concerned, and for eternal life, to be enjoyed throughout the endless ages of eternity. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. You are your own destruction in sin, but in Christ, he will be the destruction of your destruction. Is that not a wonderful and glorious deliverance? O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Well, the Lord's Supper is instituted for the help and the strengthening of poor and needy ones on their way to Zion. And you are to lay help upon him who find it such a great and solemn matter to remember his name on a coming Sabbath. And we are all to seek to profit from the ordinances of the gospel at this time, that we would find help, sure and all-sufficient help, in his great name, in the gospel, for the very chief of sinners. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. May the Lord bless his word to us. O blessed one, teach us to call upon thee. Bless thine own word to us. Grant to mix it with faith in our hearts. May we not go away unconcerned and lacking in exercise and in desire, but may we have a desire to be drawn to thee, that thou wouldst draw us to Christ, and that thou wouldst keep thy people, a people near to thee, draw them with the cords of love and the bands of a man, yet nearer to thy presence. Oh, take away all our iniquity, take us to our homes in safety. Wash us in the atoning blood. Come out with us on the morrow, we beseech thee. Grant a spirit of secret prayer to be pleading with thee for a blessing. And all we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. We may sing in Psalm 89. Psalm 89. And from verse 17, Psalm 89, verse 17. Because the glory of their strength doth only stand in thee, and in thy favour shall our horn and power exalted be. For God is our defence, and he to us doth safety bring. The Holy One of Israel is our Almighty King. In vision to thy Holy One thou saidst, thy help upon a strong one lead. Out of the folk I raised a chosen one. Even David I have found him out, a servant unto me, and with my holy oil my king anointed him to be. We can sing these verses, Psalm 89 from verse 17.
Yeah.